Yes, good evening, dear listeners. Good evening. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. As it has always been the case, especially this time from 1800 hours to 1900 hours, this is a time that we give our deep discussion on economics, we give our deep discussions on business, we give our deep discussion on governance, we give our discussions regarding policy directions. This is also the platform that we analyze political matters. It's a platform that we analyze political matters that affect bread and butter issues. We look at content and context of economic development reports. We also look at views from experts and also those who are in the field on where the country is going. Because we are indicating to you that business and economic segment platform is a platform that is cutting across all the sectors. It's a platform which, look at how can we improve the way we do things? How can we improve the way we do things? How can we assist our government in reaching its goals? How can we know what are the loopholes, what are the challenges of our SOEs in the country, and what is going on within our governance structure, particularly when you are looking at the corporate governance structure. And we are indicating to you that everything that is being discussed here is everything which is touching the bread and butter issues of Namibians. And in the broader context of the economy, from the historical background of human existence, economy has been at the center of the society. There is no way people lived without resources. That's why conflict and alignment of individual within a certain community is motivated by resources. Leadership centered in resources. That's why we are saying Namibia, where it is now, as long as our country is where it is now, in terms of the economy, in terms of our financial system, in terms of global ranking, in terms of unemployment being the highest in SADC, in terms of the increment in the price of oil and also the price of energy, and looking at various aspects, looking at the reclassification of the country, for example, we are saying as long as Namibia is at this juncture, we will continue to speak, we will continue to have this conversation, and we also continue to call, different writers, thinkers, analysts, academicians, policymakers to come in the studio and discuss with us about these matters, to say, where are we taking our country? Where are we taking our country? And what is the best strategy that can be used to develop Namibia? And so wherever you are finding yourself, we are greeting you from Eagle FM Namibia. Wherever you are finding yourself, we are greeting you from Eagle FM Namibia. This is your favorite platform, Business and Economic Segment, with me, David Shombe. And we are always very happy to accommodate your views. We are always very happy to make sure that, we listen from your perspectives. We listen from your views. What do you think about issues that we are putting on the table? And what are the best options available, especially to drive this economy forward? And before we go to the conversation for today, it's always very important. It's always very important that is what we are always indicating to you, that if you are a researcher, if you are a policymaker, if you are a student of economics, trade, agriculture economics, or student of agriculture science, and any other course which is attached to development of this country, make sure that you follow Eagle FM Namibia at all our social media platforms. That is a fundamental point of departure if you want to move forward. Follow Eagle FM Namibia on Facebook, on X, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Like and share our page, because those who you follow, or those who follow you when they follow us, they can also be able to get those economic insight, those business insight, and it's going to be easier for them to make those long-term strategic economic decisions because they have access to data, they have access to information. That's why we are saying, like our page, share our page, so that you will be those good citizens who understand where the country is coming from, where the country is at this moment, and where the country is going. And we are always indicating to say information is power, and the moment you have information, the moment you have data, it's more easier to you to make decisions, it's more easier for you also to avoid problems. So that's why we are indicating to you to say, follow Eagle FM Namibia, follow us at our social media platform, and be a good citizen. On top of that, we also have our e-paper. That is, of course, the Villager newspaper. The Villager newspaper is an e-paper which is coming out every Monday, every Wednesday, and every Friday. So when you have access to the Villager newspaper, you will be able to read. You will be able also to update yourself, because every Monday, if you subscribe to the Villager newspaper, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday morning, you will be sent that document. Then you will get the content of that document, because it is everything related to trade, mining, food security, financial system, trade statistics, and you name it. That's why we are saying we are economic driven radio station, and we have an economic driven paper that we look at mostly on issues that affect the way we put bread on the table. That is the reason we are indicating to you that for you not to miss out, subscribe to the Villager newspaper. And yeah, there are always our dear listeners who are saying, oh, where are you, Eagle FM Namibia? We are not able to find you. We are not able to get connected to you. We are indicating to you that connect with us. Connect with us. We have an alternative way of you getting connecting to us rather than, radio frequency. Because if you're at a place where the frequency is not on standard, do not worry. Don't get stressed, because we have a different smart way of connecting to you. That is by making sure that you download Eagle FM app. Go to Play Store, go to App Store in your phone, download Eagle FM app, then you make your life more easier. Because when you download this app, it will automatically, when you just open it, it will automatically open it. It will automatically show, or you'll be able to listen to the programs which are on air. And eventually, lucky enough, in a situation where you miss programs, you miss shows, you were busy doing something of equal importance, we are indicating to you that you can also get access to previous information, to previous programs and previous shows, by making sure that you use podcast. Go to where it's written podcast, and go to the show name and the person who hosts the show. Then you'll be able to listen to the podcast at your own time, at your own pace. So we are saying to you, if you download the Eagle FM app, whether you are in China, whether you are in the US, you are in Israel, Palestine, wherever you are finding yourself in this world, then you have internet. It's operating exactly like WhatsApp. You will be able to listen to the programs which are on air, and also indeed the previous programs. Yeah, and the other thing, last, before we go to what we have on the table, the other thing that we have on the table is Imba app. Imba app is a simplification and a digital version of accessing a hymn book. Accessing a hymn book, you find a person who is at church, for example, but just forgot your hymn book at home, or you just do not have it, or somebody took it, or you gave it to somebody, but you want to sing along. You want to sing along. You want to get connected to people that you are with at that congregation. What you need to do, make sure that you go to your Play Store, go to your App Store, download Imba app. And when you download Imba app, you make your life more easier. Because when you download Imba app, you'll be able to get access to the hymn book that is now in Oshuambo, Ehangano. There is also a version in Ucherero, Africans, Silozi, and many other local Namibian languages. So in a situation that you need a hymn book, in the situation that you are required to sing along, or you just want to understand the content of a hymn book, make sure that you download Imbibe and you make your life more easier. So dear listeners, let's go to a commercial break, then we'll continue with the conversation. Yes, we are continuing with business and economic segment, and today we are going to speak about value addition. Today we are going to speak about value addition, especially in terms of our natural resources and also in terms of the products that we produce in the country. In terms of our natural resources, such as marine resources and minerals, but we are also going to look at the products that we are producing in our country. Because value addition is at the center of job creation, it's also at the center of advancement of the country. Have you ever asked yourself, why in most cases, the products that you are producing in your field are almost the same product that you are buying from the shop, but the price of those products are completely different from the ordinary product? Why on earth African, farmers or African, people have never shifted their agricultural production to value addition and also improvement of their products, particularly those who are at a rural area? Because one thing that we have seen, especially our subsistence farmers, is that when you go to the north, for example, when you go to Kavango, when you go to Zambezi, you'll be able to realize that this person has been producing maize for over 10 years or 20 years, but this person is still selling same maize in the same format. Just put them in a bag, then you sell. This person has been producing mahangu and is selling mahangu, and this person never add value to that mahangu. No packaging, nothing. No transformation to a different product, nothing. Then you are asking yourself, why Africa is not moving forward? Have you ever asked yourself why it was so resistant, or it is still resistant, to our grandmother to change the way they do ploughing at the village? Why is it so difficult for them to change the way they plant? Why is it so difficult for them to change that? No, today or this year, we are not going to cultivate mahangu, we are not going to cultivate maize. Let us try groundnuts, for example. Or let me just try sweet potatoes. And what value should I add to this? So have you ever asked yourself why Africa is regarded as one of the richest continents in terms of mineral resources, but is still one of the poorest continent in terms of human development and also economic growth? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Then why on earth we have been speaking and talking about Namibia as the richest country? Rinoka Enongoporo with diamond and copper. People have been saying about this since the liberation struggle, to say we want to liberate Namibia with Okawa and Ongoporo, with the richness of diamond and copper. But have you ever really seen value added or value addition happening in the country? Why are we still continue to have trade deficit almost the whole year? In terms of our trade balance, maybe 2 to 3 months that we are making profit. In terms of trade balance, we are always losing money. In terms of trade balance, every month. Why can't our minerals take a center stage in a global trade? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Now, let us look at where we came from and where we are going. Where we came from colonialism, and post-colonial Namibia there have been various measures or various mechanisms that have been put in place, and different projects have been brought about, starting from food sector, where you have establishment of green scheme, for example. More than 10 green schemes established around Namibia. Then the question that you're asking yourself, how many of those products produced from green schemes are the final products, or just raw materials, just selling raw cabbage, raw tomatoes? What area in Namibia people are making tomato sauce? Peanut butter at the larger scale, not at the tuck shop level, at the larger scale, how many? Why are we running to work at shops such as Pick and Pay, ShopRite, and all these other retail shops, while we still have plenty of land that we could have used to come up with final products? I'm not blaming anybody to work there. What I'm trying to say is that, why can't we add value to our products so that we can also have a market? What is wrong with that? What is very difficult about that? And where are we as a country? Now, in this morning, I was speaking about the analysis of African governance report on governance of natural resources. That is a report of 2025 conducted by African peer review mechanism, which is an instrument to measure governance and also policies of member state of the African Union. And I was so shocked to see that in that report of 2025, part of this year, indicates that, you know, although Africa is one of the richest continent, which has a huge deposit, almost 30% of global supply of minerals, is still the poorest continent in terms of economic and human development. And on top of that, Africa only retaining values which are added to their mineral resources. Only 10 to 15% of the value which are retained to a mineral resources of Africa. On top of that, that report has further expanded itself to say there are various measures which immediately need to be done for us as a continent to save ourselves from continuation of poverty, because things are not going to change soon, especially when it's coming to the global changes, which you talk about imposition of tariff, the imbalance of trade, the unpredictable governance, particularly within the US, and also in competition with other global powers in terms of the economy. Imposition of 30% tariff, for example, to South Africa, where Namibia has 15% tariffs in possession, where Lesotho is at 50%. And one of the recommendations that was done in that AGR 25 report stated, one of the recommendations that Africa must add value to its resources and trade continentally. Because remember, if you are only retaining 10 to 15% of the values added to your mineral resources, it means that the other person, either is a company that you are in agreement with, either is another country which you are in business with, is getting 85% to 90% of the values retained from minerals which are produced from your own country or from your own continent. That is one thing that we need to look at. And what is also interesting is that it has been for a very long time, it's been for a very, very long time that we have been remaining the way we are. And the same recommendation also The same recommendation also stated that African countries must renegotiate the trade deals, renegotiate agreements, particularly those which occurred during colonialism, especially those which are related to the way we manage our resources, the way we manage our minerals and our marine resources. Now, the question that we need to ask ourselves is that where are we starting? Where are we starting? Because in Africa, we have a very big problem of taking off, the project just to take off. We would discuss about discussing. There will be talks about talks, but little to nothing, especially when it's coming to practical implementation. Because you see, our late founding father, may he so rest in peace, President Nyoma, was very clear about what he wanted. He was a project man. He was regarded as a project man. He go in the field and say, no, I want railway from here to here. And I'm already starting it. Then you add for me. Then I want to establish food security platform, which is building of or establishment of green schemes with people working on them. Where are they now? Are they effective? And if they are effective, or if they start to be effective, what is the outcome products of that? What is the product outcome? Is just raw material or effective value addition that you can just sell to the market? Because as Dangote was always speaking, when Dangote was in Namibia, he's always indicating to say, Africa, we are exporting jobs. We are exporting jobs. And we are importing poverty. When somebody is saying you are exporting job, how can we be so unemployed? Highest unemployment rate. But we hold minerals that we just sell at the raw face. How many of Namibian scientists say, no, this is uranium, I touch uranium, and this is what value we can add to uranium? How many of even physics students touch Namibian copper? Just touch it to say, no, this is the copper that we sell to other country. And this is what we can do if you want to add value to it. Some of people are working in the mine, but they don't even touch those minerals. They just pack them and go. That's why today we are talking about the value of adding value to the products. The value of adding value to the products. And what can we do as ordinary Namibian? What can we do as farmers, as business people, and also as researchers and policymakers, leaders? Where is the direction? Where are we just selling mahangu? You know that if you want to make pizza, let me say you want to make pizza from mahangu, do you know how long it's going to take you? Just from cultivating mahangu, to harvesting them, clearing them, pounding them, baking the flour, and also coming up with the final product. You know how many jobs we could have created from there? Let me say, I want to make pizza from embe, for example. How many jobs we are going to create if we do that? But where are we investing? Where are we investing? And when are we going to reach that level? Yeah, because as long as we are going to continue like this, I like the standing point of our president, especially when he's talking about value addition and mineral beneficiation. I like that point very much. I love it, because that is where we where it's supposed to be a long time ago. But the fact that it's prioritized, it's under NDP 6, I like it. But the question remains, when are we going to start? Because if you look at the report, especially when it's coming to the states or to few African countries that position themselves to say, no, we are going to renegotiate, or we are going to add values, or you are going to work with us to add values, or it cannot be correct for you not to give me equitable shares for my natural resources, and also not assisting me to add value to my products. Because if you look at the AGR 25 report on governance of natural resources, it stated that even Zimbabwe, we may say a lot of things about Zimbabwe, but Zimbabwe has done quite a lot of important decisions, a lot of improvement, regardless of the difficulties that Zimbabwe went through. But when you look at the Zimbabwe trade policy, when you look at how they negotiate also, when you look at where they are positioned currently with their population, look at their background, then you'll be able also to see that there is few things that you can say they are doing very well. That's why in terms of their minerals, even if they are poor, in terms of population distribution, when you are using human development index to look at who own what and who is surviving how, you'll be able to see that the majority of them are poor than Namibians based on their numbers. But when you look at them, in that report they state that countries which are praised is Zimbabwe and Botswana. That Botswana renegotiated with the Beers to get their shares, their fair shares in their diamonds, because Botswana is one of the largest producers of diamonds in Africa. They did that. And when you look at Zimbabwe also renegotiated to say, or stopped even, they banned the exportation of lithium without ended value. So that's why today we are saying, when you look at the numbers are not lying. When you look at the numbers and the qualities of value addition, you'll be able to understand that after Botswana renegotiated with the Beers, how much money did they make? When Botswana renegotiated with the Beers in 2023, they secured large shares in their diamond sector. Then the large shares in the precious stones that they are mining, then they created a diamond fund of around $75 million to help with economic developments. Put that into perspectives, and also translate that into Namibian dollars or the polars. Then you see how much money is made from that. Then you also be able to see that Nigeria also, they say no, in terms of carb exploitation, they ban raw ore exportation in 2022 in order to make sure that they create local jobs. Now the question that we need to ask ourselves is that where are we starting? Because value addition does not only happen into mineral resources. Value addition also happens locally. How equipped is our resources? Because I was at a certain presentation, then one guy made a very brilliant presentation differentiating between an entrepreneur and a business person. Business person who just sell, for example, you produce groundnuts, then you sell them. But this entrepreneur decided to say, apart from the raw selling, where majority of the people are selling like that, let me come up with a machine that is crushing these nuts and also making them peanuts, for example. Then the cost of packaging, the cost of buying of bottles, or the cost of bottling and packaging and transportation, it means that in that chain, a lot of jobs are already created. And by the time the product is sold to the buyer, there is much value added and the money is not going to be different. Because if you are buying ordinary just peanuts, maybe fried peanuts in the street, and same kg and a bottle of peanuts, the packaged one, how much? Then you see the difference. Then you realize to say value addition. If you can relate that value addition to the mineral resources or to marine resources, you'll be able to realize that we are losing much. And other countries are not going to tell us. So that's why today we are talking about the value of adding value to the natural resources of this country. And how can we practically do that? How can we be taught that from a younger age? And how is this going to benefit us? We can learn from Botswana. We can learn from other countries such as Zimbabwe and also others, particularly when it's coming to renegotiating their deals. When you look at the report, also indicated, you know, Zimbabwe prohibited exportation of unprocessed lithium ore in December 2022, and we also followed suit in 2023. But this has raised some concern, especially with EU, because apparently Namibia had signed an agreement with EU to access rare earth minerals. Now, the question that you're asking yourself is, okay, it's fine. Namibia have signed an agreement with EU to allow EU to access rare earth minerals. Now, in this regard, when you look at this agreement, yes, it's an agreement. Is the agreement fair? Can the agreement not be relooked? Because we are talking about Africa Continental Free Trade Area. How are we going to fit in that if you are not putting our house in order? How are we going to fit in that if you are not putting our house in order? Therefore, we are indicating in this regard to say, in the context of national economy, the issue of value addition should not only be the issue of minerals, resources, should be the issue which is cutting across all the products. That is where we need to start from. Because if we continue just speaking about history, if we continue just speaking about how much we have, if we continue just speaking about we have diamond and copper, but we don't talk about the progress which have been done in terms of value addition to these products, we will never get out of this economic situation. We'll never get out of it because things will continue the way they are. So that's why today it's a very important thing, especially as an ordinary Namibian, to do a reflection. Look at the business that you are doing. What other thing can you do to make your product better? What value can you add? Do you know that the product that you are selling for 50 Namibian dollars, you can add value to that product, then you can sell it to 250. What are you selling? Or what are you making? What value can you add to that, product, so that you can make more money and you create more employment? You have been selling fat cakes for 25 years. Why can't you be creative enough? Then you come up with, you start selling pizza or making homemade pizza with your own creativity. What did you learn from that cooking experience for the past 20 years? Or you are just selling the same thing for survival. Or you've been selling Kapana for a very long time, but what can you do to make sure that at least you add value to that? Because if you have that mentality of saying one product can mean 20 products if it's approached creatively with an entrepreneurship mindset, then that is the only way that we are going to move forward. So, dear listeners, you are listening to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe, and today we are looking at the value of adding value to our resources. The value of adding value to our resources and the importance of this for personal growth, business growth, and the broader economy of Namibia. Because in comparison to what the world is going through, what Africa is reporting about, what Africa has planned, what Namibia have also planned, particularly in NDP6, what is lacking there is just the action. What is the action plan? When are we starting to do that? So because if we start doing that, I think it will save us more time and it will also allow us to become a country which is addressing its issues. Could it be due to lack of value addition? Could it be that is what is slowing the growth of the Namibian economy? Could it be that is why we are still the second highest unequal country in the world? Could that be one of the solutions? Or could that be a step toward the solution to that? Is value addition going to be a game changer? How many factories are going to be created? Are we really serious about value addition, or we are just speaking for the sake of speaking that to how we have been? Are we ready to sit on the table with those who we have been working with, especially those who own much of the shares in our resources? Or we are scared of what a lot of people think is disruption in terms of minerals? How is the governance of our resources in general? Are we what AGR 2025 is speaking about? Weaker institution, mismanagement, and unequal distribution of profits. Particularly when it's coming to governance. How is the structure of our SOEs? Because this one is on governance. This one is on governance. I like, when you look, for example, at pillars of Harambee Prosperity Plan, our late Dr. Ginko have been regarded as the best administrator, has been regarded as an administrator, the man of governance. But when you look at the plan, you realize to say governance is always number one. Governance, get the governance right, then you get everything in order. But how is our corporate governance in Namibia in general? How is our corporate governance? How is the governance of our SOEs? Can we do what this report is saying, to say give SOE more power to decide on their deals? Or is it going to become a mafia state? Are our SOEs in order? How many SOEs in Namibia do not have full-time CEOs? How many of SOEs in Namibia manage to have CEOs that last for more than one term? How many board members finished their term in Namibian SOEs? We are a very small country. You know, compared to countries in the world, we are one of the smallest countries in terms of population. But we are big in coming to news. We are big when it's coming to trading for not so good reasons. But now when you talk about value addition, who is going to be in charge of that? So I think it's crucial to look at things such as what other countries have done, and also to listen to the voice of people like Gwen Matashe. Gwen Matashe is the oldest politician in South African politics, but he's very clear about the position of South Africa in terms of natural resources. Because now if you look at what's happening in SA, after the imposition of 30% tariffs, being understanding that there is more to lose than to gain in this predicament. Sri Ramaphosa has indicated that he's willing to continue speaking. He's willing to talk and come on at the table with the U.S. Government. However, at the same time, Gwenna Matasha, being one of the experienced politicians who understand global trade, they have created already a helping desk. They have already created a helping desk which is aiming to assist, which is aiming to assist businesses in South Africa with advisory, particularly when they want to shift to another trading area, due to the fact that the treatment in the world will not be the same anymore. And the other thing also that he's saying, apart from Gwenna Matasha being angry about what the US have done, he also stated that no, it's not correct that we are trading with countries such as China, but we are the largest producer of our minerals. But we are not adding value to that. That is why his concern is more on addition of value, because when you look at countries with rich mineral resources, in most cases, due to the previous colonialism and the previous agreement which were signed, it's becoming very difficult for this country to develop, because they continue to sell raw materials. There is still no jobs created because there is no value added to those products. And when you don't have value added, the food chain is very small. There's no value chain. It's very small. That's why in this context today, we need to reflect as a country on where we need to have a strategic approach to the way we deal with the resources, a strategic approach to the way we deal with food security, for example, because we may have small land or we may not have fertile land, but the little that we produce, how we can use it and what value we can add will mean a lot to what we put in the market. Look at the potato project, for example. When you look at potato project, you realize to say, just in 1 month, the price of potato already went down. You know, that is amazing. Domestically produced. Imagine now if you have created a value chain there, then your packaging process, your packaging, you know, employees, you have those who are again adding value. Then you have also those who are using those potatoes to make chips. It will be a huge job creation. It's going to be a very good disruption in the market, because independence in terms of the economy is what every country wants. Nobody really wants this entanglement of the economy, although it's a rule of engagement that you cannot survive in a global economy standing on your own. But have capacity to make decisions is what is very important. So, dear listeners, we have around a few minutes before we come to the end of our conversation. Today we're talking about value addition. Today we are speaking about the importance of value addition to our resources, and how is this going to be a game changer in terms of national development. And in respect of what have been said by our politicians, in respect of what have been said by our political leader, because they also see what we see, but they don't do what we say. In most cases, they don't do what they say. In most cases. But at the policy level, we are doing very well so far. At the policy level, we are progressing at an understandable pace. At an implementation level, I'm yet to see. I'm here to see the our deputy prime minister and the minister of industrialization, mines and energy. I still wanted that voice to come out, the voice that he had when he was an ordinary MP. I still wanted that voice to come out because he has good ideas. I want to see that on a practical ground. Or he is cornered now by the situation. I want to see that coming out. And I also want people to help him to implement those ideas that he had, that he was expressing when he was an ordinary MP. And if that which he said can happen, then everybody in Namibia is going to be rich. Even if not everyone is going to be rich, people are going to be advanced in terms of human development. People are going to have access. People are going to have jobs. People are going to have a sustainable way of dealing with their resources. Because if for the past 35 years we have been talking about the addition of values to our minerals, but up to now we do not have something which is looking like a sustainable way of keeping uranium. And then you are being taught to say, in terms of prediction, mines like Rossing Uranium only have around 10 years to exist before its lifespan lapses. Then you're asking yourself, where are we going? And how can we move out of this situation? And when we speak about, for example, African Continental Free Trade Area, value addition is number one. Because if you open those borders, let me say you open the borders, it's a free trade zone. You, apart from opening the border, you subscribe to Pan-Africa payment system. Money can come and go. Then you don't have value addition. You are still going to lose because you are still going to be a country, you know. You are still going to lose in terms of money, in terms of, business competition, because when Nigerians are coming from there, when Zims are coming from there, when Malawians are coming, when Congolese are coming, when everybody is competing at the free trade zone, there's still those who are going to make more win. And you, with values not ended to your products, you are still going to suffer. So that's why we are indicating to say, especially when you are coming to the end of this program, we are indicating to say, it's not only mineral resources. Every entrepreneur must think about value addition. Every business person must think about value addition. Every farmer must think about value addition. Why do you think people are coming to buy cattle from you? Then the profit that they are going to make from the product they are coming from that cattle is maybe 5 to 10 cattle. Because if you just put it very well on a clear ground to say, let's take one cattle for example, sold for around 8,000 or 10,000. Then you slaughter it, you take the meat, you make biltongs from some part of the meat, you sell kapana. You take the skin, you are using it to make leather clothes, for example. Then you take the bones, you are using it to make products out of that bones. Then horns, everything that is coming from there. Then you know how much money you are going to make. Because in this world, there is nothing which is going to waste anymore. There is nothing which is going to waste anymore. Because if something is crushed, can be made. Even to support food production, even to come up with fertilizers. So that's why we are saying, as a farmer, think about this thing. What else can I do to make more money? Or what else can I else can I do to make sure that I also create job within that sector? Because if we think that way, we'll never lose. We'll never ever lose. And that is what everybody wants Namibia to be at. So, dear listeners, you are listening to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Nshombe. Thank you very much for joining us at this discussion. And we are also always very happy to be here. And see you. Bye-bye for now.